You are listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
Ancient tools and burials, plants and seeds, Neanderthals. All these things we make no apology for the study of archaeology. But we don't do dinosaurs, no we don't do...
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Archaeological Fantasies Podcast, episode 29. I'm your host, Sarah, with my co-host, Ken Fader. And today, we're discussing the Bosnian pyramids. Are they actually really pyramids? If they're not pyramids, what are they? And what would we expect to see if they were pyramids? We're also going to discuss complex societies and the markers that anthropologists and archaeologists use to determine if a society is capable of building megaliths like the pyramids. Get ready to think critically.
Funny beady blokes, you will see, are a staple of archaeology. But we don't do dinosaurs, no we don't do dinosaurs, no we don't do dinosaurs.
Well, welcome everybody to another episode of Archaeological Fantasies. How are you, Ken?
I am spectacular. We're waiting on our first big snowstorm, but now they're telling us it's not going to hit us.
Up here in Canada. That's okay. Snowmageddon's about to hit Virginia, so
all right.
We have our staples of bread, eggs, and milk ready to go.
There you go. So you're all set. The end times are upon you, but you'll have...
But there will be French toast.
They'll make French toast, absolutely.
So today we're going to talk about some place that probably isn't as cold. We are going to talk about the Bosnian pyramids.
Yes, gotta love
that
pyramids.
Are in Bosnia, so I am assuming it is not cold in Bosnia. I don't know.
I think the pyramids have significant elevation. I'm sure they have winter, yeah.
Oh, that's true, yes. But, you know, when you're a mountain, it's easy to have snow on you. I'm going to give you a brief history of the Bosnian pyramids, as I understand it, which is probably going to be very abbreviated because there's not really a whole lot to these. So the pyramids, for those who do not know, are not really pyramids. They're actually small mountains. And I think they're hills within the foothills of a mountain range. They are kind of pyramidal in shape. And due to extensive digging on them, they now even more resemble pyramids than they did before they were discovered, quote unquote. And basically they're a huge fraud.
Well, we can also call it an enormous misinterpretation of some geological facts.
Yeah, of natural features.
I think, you know what we should do, Sarah, is actually start with the whole... I mean, everybody's turned on by pyramids, right? Everybody loves...
Yeah, I'm not doing these justice, am I? Yeah.
Pyramids are pretty cool.
Yeah, pyramids themselves. Actual pyramids are very neat.
And usually when you... Now, here's the deal. The mere fact that somebody is saying maybe there are pyramids in Bosnia, that itself is not an outrageous claim. Because while most people, when you say the word pyramid, they think of Egypt. And maybe if they have a little broader
Correct.
Background, they think, well, there's Egypt and there's also the Maya. Pyramidal
Yes.
structures, monumental pyramidal structures are found all over the world. The first thing
Yes.
we need to do is dispense with the notion that, oh my God, if they're building pyramids in Egypt and they're building pyramids in the Yucatan and pyramids in China and pyramids in Illinois, they all must have come from a single source. The single source might be Atlantis or something like that. And Atlantis does come into the issue of the Bosnian pyramids. But here's the bottom line, that all over the world, archaeologists and historians, prehistorians, have for years analyzed the development of complex societies. Usually the term is used as civilizations. So these are societies in which there's a social stratification and a food surplus and a great ruler and maybe an army and people living in dense concentrations and the coordination of their labor to produce amazing monuments. And archaeologists talk endlessly about, well, why is that? Why monumental architecture, why does that happen in certain societies? Not all of them, but certain societies. And is it an effect merely of social stratification and concentration of wealth that happens when people produce a surplus? Or is it also a cause of the development of social stratification? If somebody is able to build a monument to direct that, people look at that person as, wow, that guy's legitimately got power. So that's another issue entirely. That's a really cool thing. But so why is it in so many different places. And really, there are pyramids in Egypt, of course. The ziggurat in Mesopotamia, those are kind of pyramidal. In the American Midwest, the Cahokia, Monk's Mound, is a giant pyramid of earth. There are pyramids in Western China. There are pyramids in the Canary Islands. There are pyramids. So what's the deal with all these pyramids? When you think about it, if you're going to build something big, right, you're going to pile up a bunch of stuff. Well, the simplest thing to do is to make it broad on the bottom and narrow on the top. So therefore, it is by definition pyramidal, pyramid-like. And that's just, you know, go dig yourself a hole and pile up dirt. Try making that pile so that the narrowest part is on the bottom. You can't do it. It's kind of the natural way of making something that's stable. What is it that soil scientists talk about? The angle of repose. And that means you pile it up and the slope is not so steep that the thing collapses on its own weight, but stays stable. And that's more than likely most folks in the world who wanted to develop monumental architecture to show that they were dedicated to their ruler. And their ruler wanted to build these great monuments because that reinforces the notion on the part of his people or her people that he or she is really powerful and connected to the gods. It's not terribly surprising that in so many places all over the world, the structures they came up with are big and broad on the bottom and narrow on the top, therefore pyramid-like at the very least. So saying that, well, you know, there are pyramids in Bosnia, well, that's fine, that's cool. There certainly could be. There could be pyramids virtually anywhere where people developed complex societies, social stratification, with concentration of wealth, with great rulers and a form of government, the ability to conscript labor. And that all makes sense. In the development of complex societies, a lot of those monumental structures that they start off with are in fact utilitarian, like building great canals, which obviously aids in expanding agriculture, building great aqueducts to bring water into areas that don't have water. Those are all monumental structures or monumental engineering feats that have a useful, and that have a real purpose, that have a use. Pyramids, not so much, but those large monuments have a social function and an economic function and a political function in kind of reinforcing the notion that some people deserve to be richer, more powerful, more important than everybody else. You know, if Pharaoh isn't there building the Great Pyramid, then what proves that he's so great? What proves that he's got this connection to the gods? It's this kind of mutually kind of self-reinforcing notion that Pharaoh is really powerful, so he deserves our labor. We build this pyramid. Wow, Pharaoh really is powerful. Look at that pyramid he was able to build. Of course, we're the ones who donated the labor to it. So in and of itself, the claim that in any part of the world there's archaeological evidence for pyramids or for monumental architecture, that's certainly within the realm of possibility virtually everywhere. The question arises, though, okay, what kind of evidence is there for these great monuments? And the deal with the Bosnian pyramids is that we have effectively one person who was the inspiration for this. This guy, and again, I apologize to Bosnians everywhere for mispronouncing his name. His name is Semir Osmanagić. I'm sure that I'm mispronouncing it. Now, he is, in fact, an American. He was living in, I believe it was Houston, where, yes. And you know, this is just as a little sidebar here, Sarah. I think it's fair enough to say that merely because I have a PhD in anthropology and years of experience in archaeology, and merely because you are working on your graduate degree in anthropology and archaeology, and you've got years of experience doing archaeology, that doesn't mean that we are right all of the time because we have a piece of paper that says, you know, we're archaeologists. And it doesn't mean that somebody without that diploma, without that degree, is never going to be right. Absolutely not. I mean, a couple of people who I've met who at least initially had no degrees were doing great archaeology, doing important work. So that's absolutely for sure. But I think it is important to recognize that it does take experience in excavation, experience in analyzing artifacts, experience in understanding stratigraphic profiles in order, at least, you know, our degrees and our experience does mean something. So I am not here dissing Samir Asmanajic for the mere fact that his background was he was a business owner in Houston in metalworking.
Now that, well, and I was able to find a little bit more about Asmanajic. I will get his name by the end of this. He was actually born in Bosnia. He immigrated to the U.S. during the Bosnian War, where he lived. He spent his time in Houston, Texas. But and he does have a master's degree, and it's in international economics and economics and politics. And he apparently he has a PhD in both of those fields. And like you were saying, I mean, yay for little pieces of paper, but he has, until he decided to go to Bosnia and start digging up these pyramids, he has no prior training and no prior experience in archaeology.
There's no paper trail. There certainly is nothing that I've ever seen that says, well, listen, maybe he had years of experience on a volunteer basis doing archaeology. There's no paper trail. So from the perspective of us archaeologists, this guy shows up and says, hey, listen, we have not just pyramids in Bosnia, but by far the largest pyramids anywhere in the world, and by far the oldest pyramids anywhere in the world. You know that the three pyramids of Giza, the triad of pyramids of Giza, those of Khufu, Menkaure, and Khafre. Khufu is the father, Khafre is the son, Menkaure is the grandson. The largest of those is Khufu's, and that dates to something like 4,600 or 4,700 years ago, and is just shy of 500 feet tall.
Right.
Osmanajic finding these pyramids in Bosnia, and there are several that he claims are pyramids, are artificial structures. They date to 12,000 years ago, more than twice as old as the pyramids, almost three times as old, and are the biggest one is well over at least twice as big, I believe, as the Great Pyramid of Khufu. So this is a big deal. It's not just, oh my goodness, here's another ancient culture that developed complex societies with monumental architecture, and one of the things they did was they built pyramids. The claim here is that these are the oldest pyramids anywhere, and by far the largest pyramids. So,
and if they were real, that would be massively significant. But Asmanajic, the one you're speaking of that's supposed to be twice the size of Khufu's pyramid is in English dubbed the Pyramid of the Sun.
Right.
It's called Visokia Hill. And I know I said that wrong. And then he also is claiming that, these two other hills that are right by, one is the Pyramid of the Moon, the Pyramid of the Bosnian Dragon, the Pyramid of Earth, and the Pyramid of Love. Why would you even name that?
Whatever.
Name it that. But they're all, until he came along, they were all well-known natural features that the people in the town had already dubbed as hills. He noticed these in 2005 and just was like, apparently he went to go visit and was like, oh, wow, look at those pyramid-shaped hills. I bet they're pyramids. And so he wrote a book about it. And then in 2006, some geologists from the University of Tulsa went over there and cored the pyramid, the quote-unquote Pyramid of the Sun, and found that it's a hill. It's made out of the same material and the same stratigraphic material as the mountains surrounding it. So there's no reason to think that these pyramids are indeed actual pyramids.
You know, I think it was clever of him actually to name them Pyramid of the Sun, Pyramid of the Moon, because those will not be the first pyramids, real or otherwise, that bear those names. Teotihuacan, which is probably the largest city in Mesoamerica, pre-Hispanic right. city. We're looking at from the year zero to maybe AD 500, when I think it was at its peak. But nevertheless, the largest pyramid of Teotihuacan is the Pyramid of the Sun. And down somewhere down the Avenue of the Dead is the Pyramid of the Moon. And these are
right.
real deal pyramids made with blocks of stone and with steps leading up to the top. They're flat top, truncated pyramids, as the pyramids tend to be in Mesoamerica. And they're all of that, as opposed to true geometric pyramids like you find in Egypt. And so kind of grabbing those names, Pyramid of the Sun, Pyramid of the Moon, for no apparent reason, no reason that I can tell. I don't think Osmanagic has ever said there's a written language and he's translated it, and so therefore he knows this is the Pyramid of the Sun, Pyramid of the Moon.
He has made a lot of claims.
Well, yes, that's to put it mildly, he's made a lot of claims. But
yeah.
The thing is, so what he's been doing is he actually has it's kind of an alternate reality archaeology where he has gotten a tremendous number of volunteers who have descended on Bosnia and who have helped in his excavations. That is, they have done a whole bunch of digging. Now, Bosnian archaeologists and archaeologists in Eastern Europe, especially geologists in Eastern Europe, have, as far as I know, unanimously have declared there's no archaeological that the pyramid that the these are mountains. These are natural features that, I mean, you know, when you think about it, we talk about, you know, the pyramids of Egypt, the pyramids of the soil pyramids of the American Midwest, the pyramids of Mesoamerica, the pyramids of China. They're big on the bottom and narrow on the top. Well, most mountains are like that too. In fact, it's been suggested by some that the pyramids themselves are kind of these artificial replicas of mountains.
Of mountains.
And so it's not terribly surprising that there are mountains that kind of look like pyramids if we accept the notion, especially that, well, mountains are what inspired the construction of pyramids in the first place. But yeah, when geologists have long studied these features, these landforms in Bosnia, and have said everything that they've ever discovered indicates that these are natural landforms. Are they pyramidal? Well, yeah, from certain angles they look sort of pyramidal, but that's actually not a particularly rare thing. I've talked about this 50 sites project that I've been doing, and I keep harking back to it because it's, you know, it's my context. And a couple of times now I've been to a canyon in Utah called Nine Mile Canyon. Tremendous, amazing place. That it's if Chris Webster and I ever end up doing some podcasts on my 50 sites, well, I'll definitely devote an entire podcast to Nine Mile Canyon, which, and it's Nine Mile Canyon, Sarah, but and it's like 40 miles long. Cipher me that one. I don't know, but in any event,
it makes sense somewhere.
It is the cliche about Nine Mile Canyon is that it's the longest art gallery in the world. And I can't dispute that. For about 40 miles, everywhere on the cliff overlooking this canyon, there's rock art. Amazing stuff. Beautiful, fantastic stuff that goes back as much as a few thousand years. And then stuff that's a lot – that's more recent as well. Anyway, driving down Nine Mile Canyon, it also was settled – there were Mormon settlers in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. So there are old farmsteads. And driving through Nine Mile – there are a series of hills, and they are natural hills, mountains. And I stopped at one of them only because from the angle where I was standing, it looked like a perfect pyramid. And I can send you a copy of the photograph. And what I do when I talk about this in my classes, and it's also in my frauds book, I show that picture and I say, this mountain in Utah is a much better looks much more like a real legitimate pyramid than anything I've seen in Bosnia. In these Bosnian right. photographs I've seen of the Bosnian pyramids with scare quotes around it. So I mean, I think that's a really good example of a completely natural feature. I promise you folks that in East Central Utah, there was not an ancient civilization of pyramid builders. Honest to God, these are simply mountains that, as a result of their geology, they have this sort of pyramidal shape to them. But I mean, this is kind of typical all over the world. We find features that may look like something, but they're entirely natural.
Well, and there's, to get back to the claims being made about the pyramids themselves, one of the claims is that the pyramids were built, I think you hit this earlier, that they were supposedly built around 12,000 BC.
Right.
Where if you look at the prehistory of the area, which I just so happen to have in front of me, the Balkans, where Bosnia is currently located, they were under a glacial. They were covered in a glacier at that time. And the peoples that were in the area were basically just hunter-gatherers, nomadic hunter-gatherers. They didn't live in a large group. They didn't live in cohesive cultures. They had simple stone tools. You know, they didn't have the ability, you know, they didn't have what is necessary in a culture or a society to build massive works, especially something as huge as a pyramid that's twice the size of Khufu's pyramid. So to make a claim that the pyramid would had to have been built during those times, and all of them, not just this one, but all of them, where is the culture, where is the civilization that built these pyramids?
Right.
All of the excavations that he's done to the pyramids themselves have physically changed the shape of the hills. So he has willfully gone in with his excavations and has been forcefully changing the shape of the hills to make them look more like a pyramid, like a step pyramid.
Right.
Without ever trying to produce or explain why he doesn't have the cultural material that should be associated with a project of that size.
Yeah. I mean, I think Sarah, if there's a common theme in a lot of our podcasts, you just hit it perfectly, which
right.
is that the fringe archaeologists tend to make these very grandiose claims, but they don't get the small stuff.
Yeah, they always forget the small details. And the small details are the big, the big deal.
You see, it is really all about context. Pyramids don't build themselves.
No.
In order for a culture or society to build a pyramid, there's a whole lot of other stuff that has to be in place before the pyramid ever gets started. So it's you know, you need infrastructure. First thing you need is it's if you look at any archaeology textbook or any prehistory textbook or early history book, you'll see a list of the prerequisites or co-requisites for the development of a complex society in which there's monumental architecture. So
right.
people don't just arrive on the scene as hunter-gatherers, as you point out, you know, fresh from the glaciers, and say, you know what, let's build us a pyramid. Well, wait a minute. I mean, the first thing you need is you need a large, dense population. You need a large group of people who you can conscript labor from. So
right.
you know, if you've got hunting and gathering people with groups of 20, 30,
nomadic
40 people,
hunter-gatherers,
and they're nomadic,
no less.
And for them to feed themselves, they need a large territory, so they're far apart. How in the world are you going to get all those people working together to build a pyramid? You don't have the numbers. You've got to have a situation in which you have a large, probably sedentary population. So you need a large labor force. But it's more than simply a large labor force. You have to have a large labor force that has a mindset that allows their labor to be conscripted to do somebody else's work. In other words,
right.
you take a hunting and gathering society and you walk into that village and say, okay, what I want all you guys to do is drop what you're doing Stop fixing your bows and arrows. Stop building houses. You're all going to work for me to build me something that's not going to do you any good. But it's for my eternal life, my eternal rest.
Right.
Most people are going to look at you and say, "What are you, crazy?" You know. So without a socially stratified society in which people accept the notion that some folks have power over you, can tell you what to do. I talk about this in my classes all the time, that in most egalitarian societies, people rule by authority, meaning, yeah, there'll be a village headman, and he makes a lot of the decisions, but he only is allowed to do that because everybody kind of by consensus says, yeah, he's a smart guy. He's the best hunter. He's the best tracker. So when he decides that we should all go hunting, we're going to follow him. He's our leader. But, you know, right. He didn't get voted into office, and he didn't inherit that office. And he only holds that position of some control as long as whatever he's doing is working. And then if he's unsuccessful for 3 weeks hunting and we're all getting hungry, when somebody else says, well, I'm going to go hunting over this way, you guys follow me. There's no coup d'etat. There's no there's been no formal transfer of power or control. It just happens. That a system like that, you're never going to build a pyramid. To build a pyramid, you need people who have power. That is, people actually think, you know what? I have to do what he says, or I don't get to heaven. I have to do what he says, or the army is going to come and put me in jail. I have to do what he says, or I'm going to be banished and I don't get any of the benefits of the society. That is something that's only developed among human beings in the last 5 or 6,000 years. Maybe we can push that back another couple of thousand years, but we just don't see that happening. So at 12,000 years ago, 12,500 years ago, not only do we not have a dense enough population to build these ginormous pyramids, but we don't have people who accept the idea that there are folks above you who should be able to tell you what to do. And the thing they're going to tell you to do is to help me build this pyramid. Without that in place, you're not going to get the pyramid built. And there's, like you said, where's the evidence for that 12,000 years ago in Eastern Europe?
On top of having a leader who is capable of organizing the labor force, you also need, like you were saying, infrastructure and support for the labor force.
Right.
Not just the building of the pyramid, but somebody's feeding these people. Somebody's making sure that they have the tools they need. It's just like any modern day project. Somebody's paying for these people, or they're all slaves, which is... People like to say that the pyramids, the Egyptian pyramids, were built by slave labor, but we have plenty of evidence suggesting that's not true.
Right.
Because I honestly don't really know how you would support a slave force that size. And the same thing here. I mean, if you figure Khufu's pyramids were built by like thousands of workers.
At least 20,000 people, for sure.
Right. So you've got 20,000 people building the largest known pyramid in the world. And now you're saying that this pyramid of the sun is twice that size. You're looking at 40,000 laborers. That's not including their wives and or husbands. That's not including whatever children they may have. That's not including the people feeding them,
right,
the people making sure they're working, the people who designed the pyramids. Who designed these? Who drew out the plans for them? Who was the master architect? You know, and there's nothing. There's no trash. There's no evidence of habitation. There's nothing. And yeah, and until recently, there was nothing except the pyramid themselves, quote unquote pyramids themselves, right, to suggest that these were ever even true. And I guess about 2-3 years ago, there were claims that would started to be made that within these mysterious tunnels that are all running throughout and underneath these hills, that there was some kind of ancient inscriptions inside of those. And these claims don't hold up to evidence because there was no record of this ancient inscriptions on any of these tunnels when the tunnels were initially discovered. Those didn't pop up until about 2 years afterwards. And apparently they're quite obviously not real. They're very bad forgeries. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue chewing over all of this.
The Archaeology and Ale podcast presents a monthly series of lectures on all aspects of archaeology. These lectures are part of the Archaeology in the City program, hosted by the University of Sheffield in England, and are held at the Red Deer Pub near the end of the month. The podcast can be heard a few days later. Check out the Red Deer if you're in the area, or find this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and at www.archaeologypodcastnetwork.com. Now let's get back to the show.
And we're back, and we're still talking about the Bosnian pyramids and the recently discovered knot inscriptions inside the tunnels.
But let's get back for a second, because I think you're making a really important point about infrastructure.
Okay. Right.
Infrastructure, support staff. Mark Lehner, who is an Egyptologist, extremely well-known Egyptologist, has done amazing work. One of the projects that he's worked on fairly recently is it's not just Mark, obviously, he's got a bunch of colleagues working on this at the same time, is the infrastructure around the Great Pyramids, so that dormitories,
where these people live.
Think about that, but you have thousands of people converging on a single place at a single time. You need to house them. Well, in Egypt, there's physical evidence, archaeological evidence of the dormitories in which those people were housed. There's archaeological evidence of the kitchens where the food was prepared to feed these people. Remember, in an egalitarian society, the society of hunter-gatherers, of nomadic hunter-gatherers, people are basically feeding themselves and their immediate family, maybe their extended family. But here, if you need thousands and thousands of people to build something like the Great Pyramids of Giza, well, those are folks who are not engaged in the food quest. Those are folks who those primary fundamental biological needs that they have to be satisfied by support staff. Well,
don't have time to go out and hunt and gather their food.
So in other words, in Egypt, they found bakeries. They found the places where wine was stored. They found places where the people slept. They found, in other words, they found all of the incidental infrastructure needed to support a large group of workers or laborers engaged in pyramid building. Without that, that evidence is there. I have yet seen any evidence whatsoever of that kind of infrastructure exposed on the part of the folks doing this research in Bosnia. Where are the thousands and thousands and thousands of people? 12,000 years ago, by the way, in a time when we don't know that there are that many people living in this part of the world, where are they all living, and where is the staff supporting them in their labors on the pyramid? Without that, see, it's pretty easy to look at a hill that looks kind of like a pyramid and say, my God, that's a pyramid. And you can be easily misinterpreted, and you can dig in that pyramid and find artifacts because people lived on the side of that hill. But it's a hell of a lot more difficult to actually go and find the dormitories and the kitchens. And my God, how about this? Around the area where the pyramids were built, workers were dying. That is, they were succumbing to the hard labor, to accidents, to natural causes, and those people were buried in the shadow of the pyramids. Well, again, I don't see any evidence at all proposed for these Bosnian pyramids of, well, here are the cemeteries of the laborers. And how about this? You know, when major construction project happens in some place in the United States, especially in an isolated area, first thing they do is they build roads. They build roads to bring the equipment in and men and women and staff to, say, build a dam or to build a roadway. They need, they take those bulldozers and they produce roads. All right, Where are, and we see that in Egypt, there are roads and ramps that are built to bring the raw materials to the site, to bring the people to the site, to bring the other necessary resources to support those people, that we have that evidence in Egypt. Mm-hmm. Where is that evidence? The thing about it is, let's, for a second, Sarah, let's accept the possibility that these Bosnian mountains are actually pyramids. Well, right. If all these guys are doing is digging the pyramids, they're doing bad archaeology, because the pyramids are
only They're only focused on the pyramids and the area beneath the pyramids. But I'm sorry, I interrupted.
It's exactly the point I was going to be making, was that you're doing good archaeology. You're looking at the area all around those ostensible structures to find supporting evidence that will support the claim that, yeah, there's thousands and thousands of people living here and they're spending all their time building pyramids. That's another thing too, is that, you know, when somebody says, oh, this is going to cause us to rewrite history. Well, yeah. The fact of the matter is 12,500 years ago, 15,000 years ago, the very, very, very earliest glimmerings of agriculture. 15,000 is pushing it back even further, right?
Right.
So without any evidence of an agricultural food base, of a highly effective, productive source of food, how are you feeding these people who are not feeding themselves, but they're just building pyramids? So that, again, that it's not just, wow, it bothers us that there are pyramids that are this old. It also fundamentally contradicts everything else. There's a domino effect. There's a ripple effect. It's, again, pyramids don't build themselves. Pyramids need infrastructure. That means you need people. You need support staff. You need a way of feeding all those people. Agriculture can do that. Hunting and gathering doesn't work well.
Yeah, you just can't raise enough. You just simply cannot get enough food via hunting and gathering to support anywhere near the number of people you would need in order to do something monumental like this.
It's sort of cool. If you actually look at, for the United States, for the amount of food produced by each farmer, and we're starting sometime in the middle of the 19th century. So the statistic I've seen works this way, that, you know, in 1860, one farmer could produce enough food for 8 people over the course of a year. Today, right. One farmer, if you do the math, and obviously there are so few, you know, there are much fewer small family farms, but you do the math and it's like each person involved in agriculture ends up feeding 250 or 300 people. If you look at the statistics for the United States in the middle of the 19th century, like 90% of the people living in the United States in some way contributed to the food quest. That is, they lived on farms, they worked with food. Today, mm-hmm. the percentage of people work directly in agriculture is, I think it's like 1% of the population. And I always tell my students, the reason you can sit in my class and aspire to be a nurse or a doctor or a lawyer or a teacher or a computer programmer, the reason you can do that is because you're not needed on the farm. Because our farming has become so efficient that very few people produce tons and tons of food. But you know what? 12,500 years ago, that was not the case.
No.
40,000 people not engaged in the food quest, building the Bosnian pyramids. You need at least 40,000 people living right there producing food to feed them. So
And that's 40,000 people to build one pyramid.
Oh, there you go. Right.
And there's, what, 5 of them here? Two, three, four, five pyramids.
So
all of relatively close shape. I'm sorry, I keep interrupting you. I'm just saying, these numbers are outrageous.
Right. So, I mean, the point, I think there's a point to be made here, which is, yeah, we're really skeptical about this. Yeah, we think this is bullshit. But that's okay. You can shut us up if you can answer the simple questions of, well, how, it's not just, wow, there's a pyramid. Look, it looks pyramidal. We're going to dig and we find artifacts. It's like, well, wait a minute. How in the hell, unless you're saying it was paranormal, how in the hell are people able to do that? Everything we know about human history and the archaeological record demands that we need so much more to support the notion right. that these things are gigantic, monumentally scaled, and artificial productions, artificial construction projects. And it's simply not there. The data's not there because they're not pyramids. There weren't 40,000 people building these things. Bosnia has a noble and long and impressive history. And that's something that we can get into, I think, a little bit later on which, again, it resonates in a lot of fringe archaeology, which is the notion that people view the past through a lens that they want, through which they would like to view it. That is, they want a past that elevates their people, their culture. And man, if anybody deserves that, it's Bosnia, with a horrible civil war, lots and mm-hmm. lots of people dead, lots of violence and racial, ethnic, and religious hatred. And that's sad and horrible and terrible. And yes, we need to overcome that. My fear is that a lot of the support, the local support for this, comes from something that is outside of our ability to gauge it scientifically, that is the claim scientifically, but reflects or resonates with something else entirely, which is a beleaguered people who want to view their ancient history as more impressive than anybody else's, or some level of advancement that for the time was just kind of off the charts.
Well, we've talked about this in previous episodes, especially when we talked about the not Kennewick, man. The British skull.
Oh, Piltdown. Yeah.
Piltdown. Yeah. Thank you. We talked about this when we talked about Piltdown, man, and that's the strong sense of national pride
sure.
that allowed for an obvious hoax to live longer than it needed to.
Even among scientists.
Even amongst right. the scientists, because there was such a desire for it to be true. And I really think, at least at the Bosnian governmental level, I think we are running up against that. The Bosnian government, from my understanding, I could be wrong, but it's my understanding that the Bosnian government is very motivated to accept the claims of these pyramids for that reason. It doesn't even make their history seem more rich, but if the claims being made were true, and you know, the claims that this pyramid of the sun is the quote unquote mother of all pyramids, thereby making it the first pyramid ever, you know, that changes certain things historically, but nothing significant really. But it's a big deal for the Bosnian people. So there's a lot of motivation there to believe it, if for, like you said, no other reason than to just have something spectacular to cling to. But the problem with things, especially like this one, because it's such a well-known archaeological dig, there's a lot of money being thrown at it, even though it's being done horribly. I mean, this is not archaeology that's happening here.
Yeah, a few years ago there was, and you know, it's not just that there's money being thrown at this. I mean, and understand, this is completely understandable, that for the that this is good business for the local economy.
It is. It is.
And a few years ago, there was an article in Archaeology magazine about this, and there was one page devoted to photographs of the tchotchkes, the tourist kitsch that was being marketed by local people who now right. are making a better living than they were before by selling yeah. Bosnian pyramid slippers, I think. And it wasn't vodka or maybe it was whiskey. It was some alcoholic beverage that was, you know, Bosnian pyramid booze. And, you know, I think about postcards and think about little doodads and keychains that all reflect yeah. the Bosnian pyramid.
It's good for their local economy, but it's bad overall for their local archaeology. Oh, they yeah. actually have quite a bit of history
oh, yeah.
that needs to be investigated and documented for their own sakes. I mean, that's what archaeology does. It preserves history. But because they're all wrapped up in these crappy, crazy pyramids. Everything else is being ignored and to some degree being destroyed.
Yeah, for a while I was on some email list where there's an archaeological group in Bosnia talking about the destruction of fairly recent archaeological remnants of archaeological sites that obviously were not important to the folks doing the digging because they're looking for the pyramid. And so there were medieval sites, for example, that were being just kind of dug right through. Now, again, this is I've not been there. I have not seen this happening, but I know that there were archaeologists in the area who were complaining bitterly about this. I should add something here, Sarah. About, 6 months ago, maybe, I received an email from somebody in the Bosnian Pyramid Project. I will not say his name. But apparently he's an interesting character who has, again, no background in archaeology or history. I looked him up on the internet, and mostly he's known for being an anti-vaccine activist. So this is a guy who tells you not to get your kids vaccinated because it's all bad. So we should go back to the old days when kids got polio and smallpox and whooping cough.
What do you mean the bad days? Don't you realize that there's resurgences of all that crap now? Yeah, but anyway.
Amazing, right? But anyway, so he's like their media specialist or their – I'm not even sure what his position was. But he wrote me this absolutely awful, awful email about how I'm, you know – accused me of all kinds of things in hopes that my students don't listen to anything I say because I don't know anything about archaeology or anything about the Bosnian Project, and I'm spreading all this misinformation. And a hilarious thing, of course, is that I haven't written about the Bosnian pyramids in a long time. There's a section in my frauds book about it and my dubious archaeology, which is 2010, basically saying, hey, listen, this is the kinds of things that we've been talking about here. And this is the thing I don't quite understand. I guess I do, about these fringe archaeology claimants, which is, I think in every case, not just you and me, but people like Jem Card and Brad Lepper and Jason Colavito, we basically say, well, it's easy to shut us up.
Here's
the kind of evidence that it would take to prove your point. And we'll say, oh, my God, you know, there you go. But they don't present that evidence. And my suggestion is that they don't present that evidence is because they don't have that evidence. Because that evidence doesn't exist because the claims they're making are, in fact, false. But it's pretty easy to shut us up. It's pretty easy to put us in our place if you understand this is the kind of data that an archaeologist absolutely has to see in order to be brought over to your point of view. We've talked about this a little bit, you know, that regarding the Norse exploration and discovery of America before Columbus. You know, the Viking sagas said something like this, that they had traveled west from Greenland and they had found these new lands. And there was, there was a healthy skepticism. People did not deny it was possible. A lot of people thought, yeah, that sounds like a pretty good hypothesis. But most people had a level of skepticism that led them to say, this is great, this is an interesting claim, but here's the kind of evidence, we're archaeologists, this is the kind of evidence you'd have to come up with in order to convince us. Come up with an archaeological site, come up with materials that are Norse in origin and not local. Come up with datable material that dates to the period of the sagas. And that's exactly what happened. It happened at Lonzo Meadow. It's happened in a number of other sites in Eastern Canada. And so it's not like we yell at you, you yell at us. It's like, that's an interesting claim. This is the way science works. If you are right, if your claim is true, whether it's something that makes sense to us or doesn't make sense, it's irrelevant. If you have this kind of evidence, you will convince historians and archaeologists because we work according to rules, the rules of evidence. And if you don't have that kind of evidence, you can piss and moan all you want and you can write nasty emails and it doesn't mean squat. Because it's all about evidence. It's not about you or me or what we or our attitude. It's all about evidence. And this is very clearly the case in a previous podcast, we interviewed Andy White about this whole Roman sword thing that's on right now. Now, my hope is that if anybody listens to this podcast in 3 years, they won't know what the hell we're talking about. Because if, hopefully, you know, it's going to get thrown into the dustbin of history.
Or they do and they have a little chuckle.
There you go. But all along, Andy has been saying that there's this supposed Roman sword found off the coast of Nova Scotia, ostensibly, and that it's legitimate and proves that the Romans were in the New World a couple thousand years ago. That's great. It's an interesting hypothesis. Mm-hmm. But here's the deal. Andy, in his in the podcast that we had with him, in the blog that he's got, I highly recommend everybody go and go Google Andy White blog, archaeology blog, and you'll see all the stuff that he's been talking about. This is the kind of evidence that we would need to support your claim that this sword is an authentic Roman sword that dates to 2,000 years ago and was found in situ at an archaeological site, proving that the Romans were in the New World 2,000 years ago. And without that evidence, you've got nothing but hollow claims. In a sense, that's all we're doing here, right? We're just saying, all right, pyramids in Bosnia? Yeah, that's kind of an interesting claim. How about this list of things that have to be found in order to support that assertion? That's all. And the fact of the matter is, instead of giving us those claims, they call us names. As soon as people start doing that, you say, oh, then you're full of shit. You're not giving us evidence. You're trying to
Once you start dodging the question by calling me close-minded, done with the conversation.
Remember, this is my – and I have not yet trademarked this. You know, scientists are doubters, not deniers, skeptics, not cynics. So, yeah, we doubt your claim. We're skeptical about it. It's pretty damn easy to convert us. Give us evidence. The kind of evidence that's been presented so far certainly falls short, and I'm being generous, I think, in supporting the claims of a 12,500-year-old pyramid in Bosnia that's twice as big as the Great Pyramids of Egypt. What you've got are mountains that look vaguely pyramidal. Those are all over the world. And unless everywhere in the world, you've got lots and lots and lots of giant pyramids that happen to look like mountains – I think probably we're better off assuming at first they're mountains until you prove otherwise.
Right. And nothing has been brought forward as much as, which is, it's funny to me because as much research as has been done on these hills, none of it supports the idea that these are prehistorically altered by man. All of the alterations have been done by Osmanish and his crews. So they themselves are the ones who have been altering the pyramids, quote unquote. Not prehistoric man.
Or women.
Women too. And his crew actually has quite a few women on it too. So, props to him for that. But and then on top of it, he makes all of these woo claims about...
Yeah, we haven't even talked about that yet.
Okay. No, we haven't. We're going to take a quick break, though. And when we come back, we're going to start delving into some of these woo ideas that are surrounding the pyramid, these Bosnian pyramids.
Jenny McNiven, host and diva of The Struggling Archaeologist's Guide to Getting Dirty, brings a witty, personal, and often musical view of archaeology. From personal experiences to just telling you about something she really loves, you'll always be informed and entertained. Listen to The Struggling Archaeologist's Guide to Getting Dirty on iTunes and Stitcher Radio and at www.archaeologypodcastnetwork.com/strugglearch. Let's get back to the show.
And we are back, and we are going to discuss the metaphysical claims surrounding the Bosnian pyramids.
Yeah, so far, obviously, you and I are in the archaeological community, the geological community, the historical community are very skeptical about these claims. But essentially, what we're talking about is, the pyramids in Bosnia, that's possible. There are pyramids that are much, much larger than the Egyptian pyramids. Again, okay, that certainly it's within the realm of possibility, they are twice as old or three times as old as Egyptian pyramids. Those claims are all, yeah, they're extreme. And yes, they would require extreme levels of proof. But
right.
There's nothing
but if you can prove
inherently
it.
Nuts about it. I mean, okay, yeah. There you go.
Well,
but
yeah.
Now we start treading some really deep water.
Yeah, there have been claims made by Osmanic. Thank you, Osmanogic. I need it written out for me.
I'm sure that I'm mispronouncing it as well, but at least I got all the syllables in there.
I just want to be consistent. Yeah, that's what I'm aiming for. But the claims that he's making around the pyramids, especially, of course, the big focus, which is always the Pyramid of the Sun. The other pyramids apparently are just incidental to the, you know, they're hills, so whatever. But, you know, the claims that I find listed are that they are, that they receive the cosmic energies from the center of the galaxy, and that there's some kind of sacred geometry that links these pyramids to the Egyptian pyramids and to other pyramids in the area. And there's also some kind of numerological study that he's having done on the inscriptions that were found in the labyrinth-like tunnels that were discovered apparently underneath the pyramids, which the pictures I've seen of these labyrinth tunnels look completely natural to me. I don't know why you would think that these half-flooded tunnels were man-made. Yeah. They don't look anything like a man-made tunnel.
I think it's important here to point out that if you're reading the kind of fringe literature in whatever the field, and archaeology is included, when people start talking about energy or force, your bullshit detector should go way the hell off. You should be ringing bells, because most of the time when people use those terms, they've clearly never even taken an undergraduate course in physics. They don't know what the hell they're talking about when they talk about force and energy. That usually it means something to them magical or spiritual, and they have no freaking idea what they're talking about.
No, they're just grasping at straws.
Ask them when somebody tells you, but there are interesting energies here. Ask them to define energy. What is energy? What does that mean? Oh, but there are forces. What is a force? Explain, define what that is. Listen, in most cases, those are just code words for the magical mystery tour, for things that are outside of our understanding. They're certainly outside of the understanding of people making those claims. And of course, you know, I think you and I, Sarah, would be grossly disappointed if there wasn't an Atlantis connection here.
There's an Atlantis connection.
Sure shit, there's an Atlantis connection.
There's always an Atlantis connection.
Yeah. The Graham Hancock and Ignatius Donnelly and a host of others, Robert Bovall, they have this thing about this period around 12,500 years ago, that something really, really, really significant happened back then, and that the whole world changed. The poles shifted. Continents were inundated. A great civilization was destroyed, and it's always around about that time period. And so, sure,
was there a great disturbance in the force at the same time?
There was a great disturbance in the
like a thousand voices all crying out at once, and then we're silenced. I'm sorry.
But you know what, Sarah? I'm really disappointed that I didn't think of that. So I'm really pissed off at you now. But yeah, absolutely, absolutely. The deal here is this. So it's not surprising, and we'd be disappointed if somebody kind of way out there on the fringe didn't say, oh, and by the way, this has something to do with the lost continent of Atlantis or Lemuria or whatever. And the bottom line here is everybody needs to get over it, okay? There was no Atlantis. Stop, get over it, move on. Nothing going on here, folks. And if you really do think there was such a thing as Atlantis, it's only because you've never read Plato. Read Plato. then we can talk about there being an Atlantis, a real continent in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, highly advanced, highly sophisticated, that was destroyed in like a day and a night. Read Plato, and it's real. We've talked about it here. It's real clear that it's the whole thing is a metaphor. The whole thing is a historical metaphor about what happens when a society becomes too powerful. So,
and just to harp on the Atlantis thing, the Atlanteans were the bad guys.
Yes, they were not.
They weren't good people. They were the bad guys. They were not the good people.
As we said before, anyway, the Atlantis was a plot device. It was all about Athens. That's their Athens is the hero of the story.
Yeah, Athens was the good guy.
They are the rebels. The Atlanteans are the empire, the evil empire.
That's right? True. That no, is true.
Absolutely is the case. And so they're the ones who have to be done away with.
And Atlantis was the Death Star.
Right.
So it got blown up. That's how these things work.
The thing about that, too, is that you got people like Osmanajak who's saying this amazing pyramid has something to do with Atlantis, and Atlantis was all powerful and they had all this force and energy. Yeah. Well, here's
it's
the
all about the cosmic energy for him. Yeah.
Dudes, if Atlantis was that powerful and that advanced, what? A little tectonic activity destroyed their entire society.
Right.
They didn't know this was going to happen. They didn't have an ark out there someplace. Say, oh, come on. Just stop.
Or just earthquake technology. I mean, we build buildings that can withstand earthquakes. I mean, I'm pretty sure an advanced civilization could have figured that one out, too.
One would hope. One would hope.
Right.
But so the deal is, yeah, I mean, it's not, and I won't say it's the last resort of fringe archaeology, because it's often the first resort, which is make some connection to Atlantis, because people go, Atlantis. I saw the Disney movie. It's got to be real.
Well, what I like about his claims here, because I'm looking over them, they managed to link the Mayans, the Olmecs, and the Crystal Skulls all into this together. And we've discussed the Crystal Skulls before and our opinions on that. But so he links all of these things together. And they're all, of course, to do with aliens. Because apparently according to him, now this is awesome though. According to him, the Mayan civilization actually predates the Olmec, which is not true. And the Mayans are descent from aliens who are apparently referred to as the Lords of the Galaxy, and they lived in pods of light. And so apparently the pyramids, from what I can put together here, the pyramids that he is seeing all over the world are actually like pulse points or like chakra points for the Earth. So they're really just energy collectors.
Energy, you said energy. Yay.
Yeah, but his aliens are very spiritual, very like not physical beings, but beings of light and energy.
Energy, you said
like,
energy again. Yes, I love
it. How are they aliens? They're not they're just like by his descriptions it could be a sunbeam is an alien.
Yeah.
You know, he's like giving sentience to light.
It's when you look at fringe stuff, whether it's in archaeology or anything else, you have there's this bifurcation, right? There are people who I think are credulous. That is, they believe anything, but they are discriminating in their credulity. That is, they go, oh yeah, that UFOs, that's not real, and ESP, that's not real.
Yeah.
But
these beings that are nothing but energy pulsing and form together, those things totally real.
The Bosnian pyramids, it's like it's this kind of indiscriminate credulity. So you've got intergalactic Maya, you got these interesting the Earth is peppered by these pyramids that are somehow part of this living organism, and Atlantis was real. So you get it's crystal skulls are real. So it's like, let's take every claim that's ever been made
and just tie it all together,
in some bizarre, complete a fabric that represents an alternative reality. So that everything we know is wrong. Everything we know is wrong.
And you know, that's one of the biggest props I have to give Von Daniken. That man can write the most compelling sci-fi that I have read in a long time. But he does the same thing. He just takes every claim he can get his hands on and somehow tries to kind of ham-fist it all together
to make one cohesive hypothesis that just does not work, but it is so interesting to watch try to happen.
Well, it's, you know, there's the Will Rogers, great American writer and thinker, who once said, I think, I never met a man I didn't like. Well, there's a version of that in the fringe community, which is I never heard an outrageous claim I didn't accept. And and you do wonder, you know, is there anything that they that where they say, you know what, the evidence doesn't support this.
I feel like in certain communities, if you just say there's no evidence to support this, that's all they need to believe it. Well, there's no evidence, therefore it must be true.
We're part of a conspiracy to keep that evidence from the public. But
I mean, that is my goal in life.
There
really,
you go. That's how we make our money. The deal here, the bottom line here, folks, is and if anybody's listening to this who's a real supporter of the Bosnian pyramids, that's fine. So you get pissed off and you can write Sarah. I think Sarah likes the nasty emails better than I do. But
it's archiefantasies@gmail.com. Bring it.
Here's the deal. The bottom line here is we're not treating this claim any differently than we would treat any other claim. If somebody tomorrow called me or emailed me and said, you know, Kenny, the oldest pottery in Connecticut up till now is like 3,000 years old. We've got a site where we've got pottery and it's 5,000 years old. I would be skeptical. I would be interested, but I would say, listen, I would need evidence. I would need stratigraphic evidence. I would need radiocarbon evidence, maybe thermoluminescence evidence. I would need to see these things. I would need to see I wouldn't necessarily need to see the site, but I need to see provenience data. I would need to see some fabric analysis of the ceramics. In other words, if any claim is made in archaeology that somehow upsets the apple cart of what we already know, that's great. And maybe that apple cart deserves to be upset, but we have a standard of evidence that we need in order to upset that apple cart. So we are not, what Sarah and I are doing here, not doing anything we wouldn't do to any other claim, although, of course, we recognize that, you know, somebody saying that there's pottery in Connecticut that's 2,000 years older than pottery any previously found, those folks probably are not saying, and it was left by intergalactic Maya aliens who had crystal skulls. Then it gets, you know, when you start adding all this stuff up, obviously there's a difference. But the bottom line here is if all we're saying is there are pyramids in Bosnia older than those in Egypt and larger, those are claims that we can test.
Yes.
And in fact, it's up to the folks.
And there is evidence that has to exist for those claims to be true.
And don't get pissed off when, because of the scientific method, if you don't have the evidence, we are either going to dispute your claims or ignore you entirely.
Right. I won't ignore you entirely, but I may not get back to you right away.
There you go, right. We've all gotten those emails where it's like, should I respond to this or just kind of go about my business? And
yeah,
you know, so it goes.
Yeah. Don't take offense to that. I just literally, you probably just blew my mind and I don't even know how to start responding to you.
Well, just to go off on a little bit of a tangent. I do get emails. I'm sure you do as well, Sarah, because of the blog and the podcast. And honest to God, if in the subject line of your email, it's read something like "You are an asshole." That's not an invitation to dialogue. I don't necessarily. What am I going to do? I'm going to call you an asshole back? I mean, to me, that's the equivalent of you walk down the street in New York and some poor drug-addled psychopath gives you the finger as you walk by. Is it of any use to turn around and give him the finger back? Or is it of any use to turn around and go, why did you do that? It's probably best to just walk on. But if people send me emails and say, Fader, I think you're wrong, and here's why, those are the emails that we respond to. And you can, in the end, I don't know that I'm going to convince you of anything, but in the end, at least there's a dialogue to be had.
Yeah, I will. I have rules of engagement that I used to have clearly posted on the YouTube channel. I'm not positive I've moved them over to the blog yet, but
I will allow for a certain amount of vulgarity in a blog post because Lord knows my mouth is not the cleanest thing on the planet. But, you know, when you start off hostile and you start off accusatory and when your vulgarity is directed at me, I'm probably not going to respond to you. I probably am not even going to read your email.
Right.
I mean, if you want me to read your stuff and if you want me to respond to it, be polite, be courteous. Don't try to be clever. Don't go to my blog and post a horrible comment on the blog and then send me an email like the second after you've posted the comment trying to be all coy like, I can't figure out that was you posting the comment on my blog because I know it was you. But yeah, no, the problem is, you know, these people, they send off these really intense emails and they send them to people that they're hoping to get a response from. And they're people like you and I who read them and we're like, nope. And then they get even more bent out of shape. And then you start hearing things like, well, I tried to reach out to the establishment and they wouldn't respond. It's like, well, did you ask a question or did you start off with an accusation? Because those are two different things.
Yeah. And you know, I think we all have a lot better stuff to do than to sit there and yell and scream at people via email or text or whatever.
It's very unproductive.
So,
yes.
So the bottom line here, it's we're not calling anybody names here. All we're saying is the claim that there are very old, very large pyramids in Bosnia. It's the W word. You're wrong. You know, it doesn't make you it doesn't make you an asshole. It does not make you a bad person. No. If you believe that, all we're saying is based on the evidence that's been presented to date, you're wrong.
Yeah, there's to couch that a little bit more nicely. There's no reason to believe these claims. There is no evidence that has been presented that suggests these claims are real. And I do not believe in the future there will be any evidence brought forward to suggest that these claims are real, especially since everyone who knows what they're doing in life, who has gone out there and looked at this thing, has steadfastly said, these are naturally occurring hills. These are what mountains turn into given enough time. Plus every scientist that he has tried to associate with his projects either state that they have no idea what he's talking about, or they out and out call him a liar and that they refuse to be associated with it, or they send in a rebuttal saying, no, like very public. There are seven different leading scientists who now have sent in, archaeologists who have sent in a letter stating that not only do they not believe that the Bosnian pyramids are real pyramids, but that the work being done is actually harmful to the field of archaeology in Bosnia. So no one supports this idea that these are pyramids, and there's no evidence to change anyone's mind.
No, there are no trained archaeologists or geologists that I'm aware of who think that these claims have any merit. And there are a lot of folks who at this point are saying, in fact, this concentrated digging on the mountain itself is in fact doing harm.
Right. All right. So any final thoughts, or have you wound yourself down on the Bosnian pyramids here?
I think that again, the important point here is that look, claims are made in the name of science by scientists and others all of the time. And yeah, people have a tendency to get a little emotional, a little heated about it. But the bottom line here is, look, in any field of science, we have kind of ground rules about what constitutes the kind of evidence needed to support a claim. And don't get pissed when we apply those rules of evidence. That's how science has progressed for a long time. And if you can't do that, then you're not doing science. You're doing something else. And that's okay too, I guess. But the bottom line here is, again, we've said it. I'm just repeating myself. There's no evidence. There's certainly no convincing evidence that those hills are anything but hills.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's basically where we leave that at. These are Bosnian hills, not Bosnian pyramids. Well, thank you very much, Ken.
Yeah, hey, thanks, Sarah. This was fun. No, I don't do it.
Yeah, it was. We'll talk to you later.
Absolutely.
Then.
Bye-bye. Major trials as one will call. No, we don't do
dinosaurs. Thanks for listening. We hope you've enjoyed it. Our music was provided by Archaeosuit Productions. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and rate us on iTunes or Stitcher and share us wherever you use social media. You can contact us with your questions, comments, or angry email at archaefantasies@gmail.com. You can follow the podcast at www.archaeologypodcastnetwork.com/archaefantasies. You can follow the blog at www.archaefantasies.com and get updates on Tumblr and Twitter at archaefantasies. You can also look for us on Facebook. If you're looking for the show notes for this episode, go to the podcast website at www.archaeologypodcastnetwork.com/archaefantasies. Thanks again for listening.
No, we don't do dinosaurs. No, we don't do dinosaurs.
We don't do dinosaurs.
This show is produced by Chris Webster and Tristan Boyle and was edited by Chris Webster.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archaeologypodcastnetwork.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.